Welcome to the Geekstrom podcast, I think number 8. I'm your host, Frankie Aguilar. Joining me today are Anthony.
Hello.
And for the first time, Kat. And today we're going to be talking about sequels, which is great since the last podcast was about reboots, because much like Hollywood, I have run out of ideas. So we're going to head down that route. But today we are going to be talking about Blade Runner and Kingsman, both of which have had sequels out over the summer movie period, and are two very different types of sequels. So I thought that we would start with Kingsman, because those have a little bit of a smaller gap in between the movie and the sequel. So,
and are the better
dang
films.
Hot takes right off the bat. Okay, all right. Well, tell us what you thought about Kingsman 2: The Golden Circle.
It's my second favorite movie of the year. Oh. 100 out of 100.
So, what was your number one? Just for background information.
Atomic Blonde.
Oh, how convenient. I have the same exact list. Look at that.
Just to be fair to myself, did either of you see The Big Sick?
No.
Okay.
No.
I would like for you both to
That's
see it.
That's my bad.
And then tell me where it ranks on your overall list for this year, because I think it might supplant one of those films for either of you. I think that's just my humble opinion, but
is it an absurdist ensemble action comedy with a triumphant soundtrack?
No. But it is
Charlize Theron
comedic romantic romp that deals with race relations, so that's good.
Okay, yeah. But is Charlize Theron in it?
No, and she's okay. Also not, you know, Atomic Blonde Charlize Theron, which is like peak. It's right up there. Like that's an all-time situation in that movie. But we're getting off track.
Sure.
Okay.
Kingsman 2. For starters, I would like to hear Kat's thoughts on what I believe was her request to talk about Mark Strong's accent.
Oh, yeah. I found out recently that it was supposed to be Scottish. And I don't hear that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I hear that. And so I've been going through this existential crisis of like, oh my gosh, am I not as like attuned at hearing accents as I pretend to be, or is brilliant legendary actor Mark Strong shit at Scottish accents?
Well, do we know where he's
and I just don't know
from, where he hails from in the Isles?
I believe he's English, and then I've also like done research on this because I wasn't lying when I said I was having a crisis about it. But my understanding was that Matthew Vaughn asked him to do a Welsh accent at first, and he was like, nah, man, that's too hard.
Interesting.
But I can give you Scottish, to which I say, can you?
Well, at least in movies, I've always felt that there's kind of like the Scotty from Star Trek vein that a lot of people go into. Like almost the entirety of Braveheart comes across as different versions of Scotty. By, you know, except the actual English actors, but, you know, everyone who is a little bit less from the Isles has a kind of, just really waiting for him to say, beam, like, you know, I can't do it, Captain. I don't have the power type situation. but I was made aware a long time ago of a different version of that dialect, and it's like, is it brogue? Is that the term?
Yeah,
Is that different than what he's doing?
You'll okay. know it. Right. You'll know
so
it.
So maybe he just
rogue.
Does suck.
He does some things like that.
Anthony, you're our local.
I'm just a mere American.
Expert. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know who told you that, but I think they're saving it because. Oh wait, No, he's not going to be in it. I was going to say, I think Kingsman 3 is going to have the Scotsman. But I don't... I'm just guessing. Because oh my God. It's the only other... You know, you have Statesman and Scotsman. And I think it would be cool. But I think... I don't think that's going to happen because I'm wrong about everything, usually.
What do you mean? Are there only three places? Or well, what's like, Scotsman?
They had mentioned Scotland at the end of the movie.
Well, because they had bought them like a distillery, right? That was yeah.
Right, that's in the UK.
Well, maybe not for long. I don't know.
Well, you guys, are you guys familiar with the comic?
No. At all?
Okay.
Only mm-hmm. tangentially.
So I'm not sure how deep that goes with like the other groups and stuff, because I've only read just like maybe like the first, like what would have essentially been the first movie, because it's mm-hmm. it's part of the Millerverse, which Mark Miller is a comic book artist writer. He did the Kick-Ass series. He's done a lot of things. He's been heavily involved with like Marvel and stuff, so he's written like the Old Man Logan story, stuff like that. I think the Kingsman is part of the Secret Service comics, I believe. Maybe there's some information on what could be coming up within that, but I read it. It was pretty good.
So we have to read is what you're saying.
Well, listen, man, every single time like you've been reading? On here, you're always flaunting that you read constantly, that you've got more books than furniture and all this stuff. So yeah. I don't want you to turn heel on us all of a sudden and be like, hey, kids, don't read.
Okay. No, what I mean is it's like extra work.
I saw him say that to a group of children the other day.
For shame.
He wagged his finger and then he winked at them. I don't know why. And he said, kids, you have to imagine I'm wagging my finger and winking. Don't read.
How the mighty have
I
fallen.
I don't always wink at children. Especially not at like parks or like you know, little league games. But I had to do it.
Anyway, yeah, no, maybe we'll read what is the other one called? It's like Kingsman Red Diamond.
I'm gonna look this shit up right now.
So what did you guys how did you feel that this movie built on the first one? Because I like the first one better, but it's only because I'm a big fan of like a Genesis story like that's handled well. I like learning kind of the backstory mm-hmm. of things, like how things come together. And it's nice because this movie expands on the concepts or like the world, but I always like where the foundation comes from and everything. I still am not sure how I feel about Samuel L. Jackson's character in it. I thought it was pretty, pretty good and pretty neat. And this one was also good. It's kind of the same way that I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy and then Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I preferred the first one.
Ooh, I haven't seen it.
But the second one was also good. It was just good in different ways. So what did you guys think about this as a sequel to Kingsman?
So I don't know that I can say with certainty that I liked it better, but I feel like I did. So I can reconfirm that with you later. I think that it had such crisp callbacks mm-hmm. to the first one that it didn't seem like it was really strong-arming anything from the first one into fitting with the logic of the second. Like, what was... Oh, gosh. It just happened so many times. Oh, so you know the scene where, you know, Eggsy's gotta drive the car to, like, the Swan rendezvous point? And...
They mentioned something about the being underwater and you should be able to hold your breath. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he was like, oh, you know, I seem to remember from your training that you're good at holding your breath. And that's all that it was. There was, like, no flashback to that. There was no, you know, reference to the beds or anything. Like, it was just quick, crisp, clean, correct. I loved it. This happened constantly. Oh, and also, like, you know how they, in the first one, it just made perfect sense that they put that church in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because, sorry for all of our Kentucky listeners, but that's where crazy people live.
Snake handlers.
But it now also makes perfect sense that the Statesman Distillery was, like, 11 miles away. Of course it's in Kentucky. It's almost as if they planned it all from the beginning.
How about that?
I loved it. I just, like, I saw it for a second time this morning, and I was just like, that is so smart. So,
I need to watch it again.
Yeah. So you're into the kind of the wink and nod, much like Anthony at parks with children situation.
Yeah, I don't like being beaten over the head with, hey, remember this? Remember who this is? Remember what we said?
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. It's like it treated us like we were smart, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, there's a show that does that called Game of Thrones where they make you, you know, it really punches you in the face to let you remember that this character is important. Just, you know.
I'm so glad you brought up Game of Thrones because, frankly, it's what I came here to talk about.
We definitely should have had you on.
I don't think, and I know think we've ever had an episode where it hasn't been mentioned, so I
well, just that had to... and the other thing, Anthony, so don't forget about the other thing. See if you can work that in at some point. I don't know if how avid a listener Kat is, but there's another mythical franchise with one specific edition that gets mentioned in not only every podcast from Geekstrom, but almost every single one that I've ever been in on anything ever. So yeah, hopefully at some point that comes up naturally.
I'm sure it will.
A mythical franchise?
You'll just have to wait and see. But when it happens, you'll know.
This is nonsense. I've listened to every episode.
That's more than I've listened to.
Screw you guys.
Oops. So, yeah. So...
But no, I really feel re-traumatized from Pedro Pascal's Game of Thrones stint. Yeah. One, in, like... watching his absolute signature style fighting away. It was like we had Oberyn back and my heart sang. And then we got like an standing over him shot, spoiler alert, of his dead body and like specifically a close up on his face. And I was like,
it's happening again. Yeah.
Hyperventilating with trauma.
That actually brings up something.
And then we got him back, which is what I've always prayed for.
But then he gets meat grinded.
Yeah, he should have worn a helmet in both cases. Right. Yeah.
Will Thank he you. Be... Will Pedro there be the new Sean Bean in that the thing that he is most known for is dying in every movie that he's in?
I fucking hope not.
That's interesting. It hadn't even occurred to me, so probably not.
Because he's still alive on Narcos. So
when he died, the first person that I thought of was Anthony, because I know that they have a tour of love affair. And as he was, you know, getting slowly ground up, I was like, I hope Anthony's okay, because I know this has got to be hard for him to see.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got the text to prove that further.
Yeah, no, I have a weird thing with Pedro Pascal where he makes me question my sexuality. And I watched it. No.
It's not weird.
But I watched it with my friend Becca, who she loves girls. And Oberyn or Pedro makes her love men. So I think Pedro Pascal.
He just shifts.
I think he defies all sexualities and everything.
He puts the fluid in gender fluid, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he is a handsome man.
You know who that is for me?
What?
Michael B. Jordan. Especially in the Black Panther trailer that just came out. I'm just like, man, that's
That's right. I thought the same thing. I was
that
like,
is a handsome dude.
He is a very handsome man.
I don't really think
Yeah, no.
I don't really think that anything would happen, but I would be okay if he just like cuddled me. I would just be happy to just be cuddled by that man.
I'd like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
At bare minimum.
Just see where things go from there. You know, just be open to it. It's good to have dead air there.
Well, look at you two. Look at you, progressive gentlemen.
We're just trying to get clicks. Trying to get the progressive clicks.
That's right.
So, shifting from that, unless you guys have anything else, because we will come back to this. It's kind of an overarching theme, but I wanted to bring up Blade Runner unless you guys had anything pressing to talk about.
Yeah. About Kingsman? I've got at least 4 hours worth of content to talk about Kingsman, so I'm going to have you steer this conversation.
We'll be coming back to it, so nothing to worry about. So, for listeners' purposes, Anthony has not seen Blade Runner... is it 2029? Is it 2049? I can't remember the number now. 49.
49.
And that's correct, right, Anthony?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Okay, but you have seen the first
one. I had like 2 weeks to watch it. Yeah, I watched the first one. The plan was I was going to watch it Friday and then go see it Saturday. But then the person I was going to see it with Saturday was like, I haven't seen the first one. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll watch the first one again, I guess. And then I didn't end up seeing 2049, so
okay.
I mean, who has 6 hours?
It was long. It was one of those it's the best way to put this. It was definitely one of those I shouldn't have gotten the large soda options. Because I physically, especially when you spend that much money on the experience of going to the theaters, I can't in good conscience ever leave something that I haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's like, oh, what happened while I was gone? No, I can't do that. Cause you never get the information the correct way. So I always have to stay. But literally I thought I was going to go into like renal failure towards the end of the movie because it was just that tight based off of how long the movie was. And it is long. It didn't feel too long at the end, but there was definitely parts in the middle where I was like, they probably could have cut some of this. I don't really think that a lot of this is necessary.
I know what you're talking about. It was more of like an observation than a deep dark
or like
wish.
A complaint even, you know, where it's like
I didn't feel like fuck
these guys for making this movie as long as it was. This is stupid. It was just like, oh no, this was
right.
All of the things that were here helped make the movie better. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's chugging
just
along.
Like, this would have been something that I would have loved to experience at home where I could have given it the old pause and taken a nice break, made some more popcorn, because this would definitely be a two bag situation.
It's really that long.
It's like 2:45, I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So
maybe even
so
a few
with
more
like
than that.
Trailers and all that stuff and all of it combined, you know, credits post pre and post and all that, you're looking at close to 3 hours, and it's visually stunning, so you are arrested the entire time. So there's not anything that pulls you out of it by it being incredibly dull or nonsensical or even pointless. But it is the type of thing where you're just like, when you start becoming aware of how long you've been sitting and watching the movie, you start thinking about things that maybe could have been cut.
Okay.
Right.
I'm of the mind that most movies don't need to be more than 2 hours long.
I've always been happy with like the 80 to 90 minute range. Because I feel like,
I think
stories
good...
can get done in that. But this one, for what they were going for, which kind of builds into the idea of what kind of a sequel this is. All of the stuff they had in it made sense. So to even this out, Anthony, I'm going to have you do a quick synopsis of Blade Runner, the first one, in your words, and then I will follow that up with one about 2049.
Okay, so Blade Runner, the final cut, which is the version you should watch, because it...
Why did you watch that one?
Non-stop hot takes here.
All right, because here's the thing. I watched like the original version the first time on, I think, like, Friday night. And then Saturday night, I watched the final cut, which I prefer.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me.
Well, because, like, I don't know, the quality was, like, shit. And I was like, oh, God, is this in, like, 360p? What am I doing?
I know, I got an SD, too.
I'm, like, watching it, like, in my apartment alone. And I'm like, I can't even get HD. What is this shit? So,
I actually weighed the value of spending the extra dollar, and I was like, nah.
No, and then, I don't know.
Better get that that's McDouble
right.
instead.
Yeah, that's right. But I ended up...
I'm sorry.
I watched Final Cut, and I preferred Final Cut, so that's the one you gotta watch. But it's basically about Han Solo is like a hunter for Mace Tyrell's corporation. They're like, oh, Anthony. Yeah, there are these.
Anthony, real quick. I just have to say.
Oh, that's right. We did. It came this naturally.
The best choice I could have ever made asking you to do the synopsis because it's already paying dividends right now. So continue, please.
Okay. So, fucking Han Solo, and he's working for Marjorie Tyrell, and they're like, hey, you have to go and hunt down these replicants who are basically androids, and he's like, okay, I guess I'll do that. And then he ends up falling in love with one of them, and that's pretty much like the basic. I don't think you really need to know anything more, but I'm definitely wrong. what else, I'm trying to think what the other important parts of the movie were.
Well, there's that, you know, the bad guy that he's...
Oh, well, yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
Daryl Hannah doing back handsprings.
Very true. Some people think that she was the impetus for the character of Harley Quinn, so that's something that's interesting to think about.
Oh.
Yeah. Not sure. No one really? This has not been proven at any point, but people think that this was kind of the basis, especially that in her characterization, especially considering her her whole thing with Roy Beatty. In the movie overall, they're kind of the nature of their relationship and all that, something that can be kind of seen as where Harley Quinn and Joker may have came from, but you know, who knows? Only Bruce Timm.
Well, listen.
Huh.
Holy shit.
I didn't realize that Harley Quinn would have shown up so late.
Yeah, because she was made in the animated series. Like, she didn't exist before the animated series.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Harley Quinn's not that old.
This is why you come on the Geekstrom podcast.
Again, with the children.
Oh.
I was trying to deflect for you there, Anthony. It didn't work.
Well, look, I can't help it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to antagonize you. Please continue. It's okay.
So my main question then, after this brilliant synopsis of yours, is at the end of the movie, the first time you watched it, did you think that Deckard was a replicant?
I'm not going to lie. I totally didn't even... That didn't even cross my mind. I was just kind of like, oh.
Me either.
Okay, well. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't wait to see Han Solo again in the next movie. And then I totally didn't do that, so.
Oh, I kind of had the thought, but then I was just like, you're paranoid.
For me... That was what I felt like the movie was trying to do, was trying to give you the is it or is it not type situation, whereas between the 18 different cuts of this movie and what has actually been said about it by the people that made the movie, including there's actually been arguments between the director and Harrison Ford about whether or not Deckard is a replicant, which is funny considering that one person actually made the movie and the other person was in it. But, you know, it's right. Just kind of an interesting idea about, you know, the ownership of things that are created, you know, especially when it comes to movies and stuff. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, Deckard can do whatever he wants in order to, like, justify his process. But that's... I'm rolling my eyes.
He's not a replicant, okay?
He is.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which is abundantly and crystal clear in 2049.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I should probably watch that movie then.
Yes. So, were you... I heard a what there. So, were you not aware of that?
Yeah, no, that... No, sure okay. wasn't.
So, again, I think between even the two movies, you could watch both of those movies and have no idea that he is, or was, or is, or whatever. Which makes part of the movie where they explain it, that kind of seems a little bit throwaway. Essentially the most important part of the movie in between the two movies, because it's what makes the movies go. But what's interesting about it is that you were able to experience the movie without having that information and get an experience out of it altogether, which is kind of where my idea about making this podcast about like the nature of sequels more important, because you go from Kingsman 1 to Kingsman 2, where essentially you could watch them back to back and it feels like the part of one movie, or like maybe like you could cut it up into like 6 or 7 episodes of a TV show, like a limited series run. So it feels like an obvious and easy next step to make between Kingsman 1 and Kingsman 2. So it's kind of like your standard sequel, where Blade Runner to 2049 is more of a holistic approach, where it's this entire new narrative is taking place within the same framework that was created by the first movie. So same world, same rules, with over an extended amount of time so that you could understand how some things have changed, but other things are exactly the same. Because, you know, if you think about it, we're almost 30 years out from the 90s, and there's a lot of stuff that we...
Oh, Christ.
I know, it's scary as fuck. I still think it was only, like, less than 10 years ago, but I'm reminded of my own mortality at all times. Sure. But the gap there in between those two movies, there's enough space where things should have changed, but it's still not a huge difference. Enough of a difference to where it's like, this movie should be completely different than the prior one. So, for you, Anthony, just to kind of have an idea of what is going on in this movie, we have a new protagonist. He is a serial number, which, because he is a replicant. The Ryan Gosling's character in this movie is a replicant, and he was essentially created to hunt down other replicants. So the same job that Harrison Ford's Deckard had in Blade Runner. And it's more so to the point where Jared Leto's weird character, the blind dude, had essentially taken over the program that had made all of those replicants originally and, like, perfected it. Had made it to where, like, they were completely submissive, total slaves, completely able to be controlled, all that stuff and everything. And what they were trying to do is completely phase out the remaining replicants from two series before the ones that are present in the movie. So, to do that, they create Ryan Gosling's character, this new android. He goes by K in the movie, but that's like his first letter and his serial number designation.
Okay. I was going to say, he sounds like a really like salty text message.
Yeah. So throughout the movie, he kind of wrestles with the idea that he might not be a replicant. And this is based on a mission that he is essentially on from the beginning, which seems kind of innocuous, just kind of a run-of-the-mill situation. But as the movie progresses, it kind of gets deeper, and it seems like there's a conspiracy going on and all this stuff. And that's how he ends up bumping into Deckard, which is Harrison Ford's character, later on in the movie, because essentially what it boils down to is that he himself was a replicant, is one from the series that they're trying to eradicate, but he's also part of a situation that kind of changes the landscape of everything. So not just the humans that live on this post-apocalyptic planet, Earth, but also replicants and everyone who's involved with all of that together. And that's where the fact that he is a replicant is really important, because he has a kid. So he has a kid. He has a kid with that other replicant lady. So the idea is that, how can replicants have, like, give birth? How can they have a child made from two replicants. And that the child is actually born and goes on to be alive and not maybe not necessarily be aware that it is a replicant, but have all of the aspects of a replicant. So, you know, strength, speed, awareness, you know, basically a computer brain and all that stuff, but, you know, also be an android. So that's where the fact that he was a replicant in the first movie becomes really important, because it kind of retcons the first movie a little bit, because when you're aware that he's a replicant for sure, and that he gets with this other lady who's a replicant, and then you know that they were actually meant to meet, like they were actually kind of put into a situation where they would come together and see if they fell in love, and then where that would, you know, naturally go within a story from there, which would be them getting together and having a kid and so on. And if that worked, that they would try and replicate that going forward. Because if you have a completely subservient workforce that all you had to do is create two, and then they can continue to create more and more naturally by themselves without having to be produced, you know, using burning energy and resources and all that stuff, then you would have a limitless slave force that you could just use forever. So that's kind of the overall nuts and bolts behind the movie. That ends up just being like a really cool, good-looking action movie. Like, there's
holy shit! I should.
Oh my god! I did not get that at all.
Huh. Well, that's.
Well,
that's the synopsis there. From my point of view,
I absolutely trust you more than I trust whatever the fuck I was doing in that theater.
So,
it was mostly me screaming, "Oh my god! How are they doing this? How are they doing this?" And then I would poke everyone around me and be like, "Did you see that?"
That's one of the things. I don't have a lot of like true movie going friends out here. Everyone is too cool to see movies, so, you know, if you want to see movies, don't move to Oregon. I just want to put that out there, unless you're going to watch them by yourself, which I do. But luckily, I was lucky enough to be in Colorado with some of my friends the weekend that it came out, and I went and saw it with them. And this is definitely a movie where you want to see it with someone else, because you want to turn to them and be like, "Holy shit!" Or did they just say what I think they said? Does that mean what I think it means? And everything. So, yeah, this one is interesting, and it kind of makes me wonder, because that's a lot of shit going on, and a movie that kind of, in a way, Kingsman did this when it pointed back at the church in Kentucky and stuff like that, but it was more of like instead of it being like a flashback, it was like a flashback and sideways, but by its nature, the stuff that's going on in 2049 is almost rewriting the last movie and its meaning. Like, things change after you've watched the sequel. So Kingsman from 1 to 2, besides people dying and you learning a little bit more about things, it's essentially, they have no effect on each other. The second one is obviously better.
It's not like you find out something was all so fucked up.
What do you guys think about those two different approaches? Like, which, not that there's one that's better or worse, but your kind of thoughts on them overall.
I think that there's been, it's hard, right, to not have the context of a viewer, mm-hmm. which in my, even though this is the first time I'm hearing of this, my immediate reaction is like, it's been so long since the first Blade Runner that, like, I would be more impressed if I thought that they had written number one with the intention of rewriting it with number two in the very specific way that it did it. Otherwise, all I think is like, oh my god, they've had 30 however many years to think of a way to smartly craft this plot in, and maybe it wasn't always the fabric wasn't always there to begin with. And that's not, like, that's not even a real criticism.
So, like,
it's just, like, Kingsman, I have a hard time believing they didn't know what they were going to do, which I always find impressive.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like the original Blade Runner is, because it was, like, what, in the 1980s?
Yeah.
Like, and then obviously they didn't think, oh, in 2017 we're gonna do this, you know. So, like, I kind of, like, I don't have more respect, that's not really the right word, but, like, I can admire more, like, a sequel so many years later that makes you rethink the whole first movie and you want to rewatch it and catch anything that, mm-hmm. you know, you might have missed. But at the same time, I kind of appreciate a direct sequel like Kingsman 2 because it's just like, hey, we're going to build on the first movie and it's going to be a fun thing.
Yeah.
But
well, now that you're saying that, I think you're right. I think it probably is harder to do what Blade Runner did.
Yeah.
What it allegedly did, I will have to see.
Yeah,
it again.
I could be just talking a whole bunch of shit to you guys and being like, let's see if these suckers will take this bait. I actually work for Sony, and I want to make sure that we get second viewing out of you, Kat, and a first viewing.
Oh, are you behind the HBO hack too?
Yep, that was me. Oh, okay. I put that. Remember that movie, The Interview?
Oh God!
I put that out there. That was me, Frankie Aguilar, 2015. Wow. Count it.
Okay. Yep. Hope the NSA is not listening.
Oh, they're always listening. They're super listening. So hello again, guys. Nice for you to hear me again.
Cheers.
They're our biggest base, actually.
That's true. That's where I look at the
it's not untrue.
I look at like the traffic for where the clicks come from. And there's a lot from Virginia, the Virginia area. And I'm always like, I don't have any family in Virginia. The word that I was trying to think of what word best described what Blade Runner 2 does to Blade Runner 1, because the immediate response is retcon, because I think that is like the geeky way to say, oh, they're changing shit because they didn't know what they were talking about the first time, or it doesn't fit whatever narrative they want now, so we need to figure out how they can fix it. But what I think is more appropriate is that it was reframed, because it doesn't change any of the things that happened in the first movie. It doesn't go like, oh, you saw this, but what was really happening was this. It's like, no, all the stuff that existed in the first movie still exists in the exact way that it existed at the time. But now, after the passage of time, based off of what has happened in the time since then, these things mean something else. And I think that that is something that is really, really difficult to do between two movies. Now, it does help that there has literally been, within the movie universe and the actual universe, a passage of time that makes this kind of fit and gel a little bit better. But reframing is super, super difficult to do in a visual medium and a medium that is so succinct like movies are. Like, reframing something in a season 5 or 6 of a TV show back from something that happened in season 1 of something is easier, because at any point in time since then you can use those points to help reframe what happened. So if you can be like, oh, these things happened in season 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so that in season 6 when we talk about season 1, it makes more sense. It's more cohesive. But when you're going from 1 2-hour movie and then following it up with a 3-hour movie, essentially, and trying to keep whole whatever happened in the story of that first movie, but also change the perspective of the viewer on what actually happened in that first movie, that's impressive. That's where I vibe with the idea that Anthony is giving kudos to the filmmakers for that. Because it is incredibly difficult to do and pull off, especially if you can pull it off in a way that could be so subversive that people that are watching it might not even catch it.
Huh. I wouldn't give it that much credit. I've got to go find out how obvious this exactly mm-hmm. was, but I think you are both right. It is definitely...
Oh, God, but now
it's definitely super difficult.
I'm having flashbacks to Spider-Man 3 now. It was like, they were like, oh, the worst by the kind way, of flashback. Sandman, yeah, the Sandman was there when Uncle Ben died, and I'm
exactly.
Like, oh.
So that's,
and excuse then, you?
Yeah.
That's the thing I was talking about with it being a retcon, where it's bullshit, because it's like, no, he didn't. There's no way that these people are involved, because you're just looking for a reason to try and make a villain sympathetic, which is not the point of a villain in a cartoon movie. They're just supposed to be, you know, basically a vehicle for villainy. Like, and it's that's what makes, like, someone like the Green Goblin, where he's just, yeah, he's someone's dad, and it's like your father figure and whatever, but he's also fucking unhinged. He's an absolutely insane person, so you focus on that. But when you've got, like, oh, man, I was just trying to steal some money to pay for my daughter's cancer, and then I fell in some radioactive sand, I'm not a bad guy. It's like, no, fuck, just come on. Just let him be, like, a weird sand guy that just punches shit, and then he gets put in jail, in, like, sand jail or whatever, water jail, who cares? But yeah, that exactly. That was a perfect example of what is the wrong way to do it. So thank you, Anthony.
I feel like, yeah, Spider-Man 3 is a good example of what not to do in any situation.
Yes.
But yeah.
Like, don't put Venom in movies. That's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Don't also create an entire separate universe for just Venom for some reason, and then cast Tom Hardy in it, because no matter how great Tom Hardy is, it's going to be shit.
Wait.
He does have a clause in all of his contracts that say he has to have his face.
That's true.
Wait, they're doing that?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Anthony, you got to check the people that are attached to this movie so far, because it's a good cast, and there's no way that they're going to utilize them correctly. It's absolutely impossible to think that they're going to be able to somehow do a standalone Venom movie that makes any kind of sense and doesn't waste the talents of all these people.
They've got castings going around for that, like, right now, where I live.
You should,
And I just can't imagine.
No, you should try it, because then I'll definitely watch it and not be critical.
Oh, yeah, that's my call.
Okay. Well, I think, part of what makes Kingsman, I think it's more indicative of where we are with movies nowadays, because almost everything is aimed at being a franchise, for there being sequels and, you know, threequels and all that stuff. Which, you know, also you can't take away from the fact that this is off of a known product, a known IP. So there is built in information to build upon. So, you know, kind of having an idea that, yeah, we're going to put this stuff in here. We're going to make this movie so that we're making it the way we want it to. It has our vision, but we're also leaving enough in it to where if we wanted to make another one, we could. So having forethought, because, you know, it's driven by money. I mean, I don't think anyone is thinking that blockbuster movies are, you know, wholly artistic in any way. But yeah, I think that because that is a little bit more, pervasive.
I guess you're right. It's a little bit par for the course now.
Yeah. But if you can do it well, I still think that deserves a lot of credit, because there are a lot of movies that you can tell that they're angling to make it a series, and so they kind of fucking mail it in. Like, for me, that's kind of what happened with the Ghostbusters reboot, because it was like they were setting it up to be multiple movies, and they didn't focus on making that movie as good as it could have been, because there are some brilliant comedic moments in that movie, and the cast is fucking fantastic, but
the brilliant comedic moments just have nothing to do
with the
plot.
The Ghostbustery stuff is like, they remember that this is a Ghostbuster movie, right? Like,
right,
about busting ghosts and not just like cracking jokes and talking about how obviously hot Chris Hemsworth is, because we know, trust me, we know. That's another guy. No. He's another one. He's up there.
He's the number two.
If we're going white guys, he's up there. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a big if.
But yeah, I think I'm a bigger fan of, I don't think I'm really a bigger fan of either. I think that they both have their own space in the world.
No, I mean, there is definitely
something. You mean Blade Runner 2 and Kingsman 2?
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you think I was talking about, Anthony? Chris Hemsworth and his abs?
Yeah.
No, there is enough space in the world for Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah. There's more than enough of him to go around. But, no, I think going back, though, to what you were saying, I'm getting a little annoyed with every single thing being a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And correct. I don't know if you guys watch South Park, but they actually kind of, like, played on this where, like, all the kids were like, all right, first we have to get our Netflix series, and then we have to get our prequel, and then we have to get our origin, and then we have to have the movie, and then I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Which, that seems to be going on with Marvel. And I'm afraid it's going to oversaturate everything, but at the same time, maybe not. No, it
100% is.
So I think I have an interesting take on that, because I think people have been worried about the oversaturation of the Marvel stuff since 2009. And that was the year after we had Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk in the same year. People are like, well, it's too much stuff. And they're like, oh, they're going to start interlinking it and everything. And we are, math-wise, 9 years since then.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And we've had X amount of movies and X amount of TV shows on Netflix and ABC. And for the most part, I think you're looking at a mostly positive experience across the board. I mean, there have been some stinkers, of course. I know that I have watched everything that's come out of it because I'm a huge Marvel fanboy. But I would think that for the most part, they're handling it well, as opposed to, and again, being a Marvel fanboy, this is easy to say, DC, who seems like they're kind of like, well, we want to get to that spot without doing any of the work. So,
yeah, what the fuck are they doing?
Well, it's just, they're taking a couple of dumpster fires, and then they're smashing it together, but then they're putting Gal Gadot on top of the dumpster fire, thinking that she kicks ass, and her movie is the best movie that we've ever made, so we're gonna hope that people will focus on her and her awesomeness, and forget that the rest of this stuff is held together by popsicle sticks and glue.
Do you mean to tell me... This is so exhausting.
You can make a good, commercially successful movie. Who do I have to call?
No, so you mean to tell me that Suicide Squad was not good?
Yes.
Don't get me fucking started on Suicide Squad.
I think we should.
Get me started on that film. It is the film that I hate most in this world.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I love pretty much every movie I've ever seen. I hated it. I saw it about 6 feet from the screen, and I had to crank my neck up the entire time. And then, how dare they with that editing? How dare they? And how dare they make me want to leave a movie that Viola Davis was in?
That's right.
And how dare they start Harley Quinn off badass and then make her fucking stupid?
Right.
Ugh.
Yes.
Ugh. Oh, I don't know why everyone's staring at me. Oh my god. Well, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's definitely a waste there. And,
I was just stirring the pot.
No, Ace.
I could do this for as long as I could talk about Kingsman 2 positively. I could shit on that movie.
It deserves it. And you know what's crazy? Is it still made like $600 or $700 million. So
that's insane.
Well, it just goes to show that there is still a contingent of the movie watching populace that is driven by the fact that they know that the movie that they're about to watch, they can go buy a t-shirt of at Hot Topic. And it's weird that that's still a driving force, but here we are. I mean, like, the amount of people that dressed up as the Joker and Harley Quinn for Halloween last year is probably going to be, like, the exact same amount of people this year, besides some of those people are going to drop off and try and dress as Wonder Woman. But it's like,
oh god, yeah, you still see him at like Comic Cons.
Yeah, and it's like
this month.
You guys are dressing up as the worst versions of these characters. Why are you doing this? It's like
it's so frustrating, and I don't know who to blame.
DC, you can blame them. You can blame Jeff Johns, actually, to be very specific. Get on Twitter and say, "Hey, Jeff Johns, I don't know you. We've never met. But I just want to say fuck you for ruining Suicide Squad and fuck you for the rest of the DC universe. You better hope that this Justice League movie is in a pile of crap, because if not, everything is going to get burned down and you're going to get fired. But hopefully you have the 280 Twitter cap, because otherwise you're not going to be able to get that all in.
I was going to say, I wish I had the balls to do that, given that, like, I work in the industry, but I've already talked so much shit thus far, like, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know. My issue, though, is, like, Justice League is going to be 3 hours, and I don't think...
No, I don't think it is. I think I saw something really? About them having... And
imagine if it's, like, a cool 82 minutes.
So, this is a good place to transition into the Geekstrom Maelstrom, just because I want to put the jingle in right here, because it's a good time for the jingle in.
Okay, that's fine. I have more to say about Kingsman, though.
The runtime for Suicide Squad, jeez, now I got that on the brain. The runtime for Justice League is actually supposed to be shorter than Batman vs. Superman. I don't know exactly.
I didn't even watch that. No, I don't know.
You didn't watch that one?
No, I was, like, kind of burnt out of, like, superheroes. Maybe just DC, because I don't like Superman to begin with, and I think he's a shitty superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he's like, oh, I can do anything, fuck you.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, we're going to redo Batman, but he's going to be with Superman. And I'm like, no. But I watched Wonder Woman, which was very good. I loved Wonder Woman.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I liked how they handled a lot of... There was a lot of places where that movie could have gone very wrong, and it didn't. And I was very, very happy with it. Justice League is supposed to be 2 hours. So
okay, I mean that's fair,
and I know I'm gonna see it because there's the only way that I can justify talking as much shit about it as I have and will, is to see it. But I'm probably gonna be sitting there with my arms crossed and my bottom lip stuck out because I'm gonna be like, I don't want to be here.
The furrowed brow.
Yeah. But yeah. I think what's interesting is that. You know, the movie has had a director shift from Zack Snyder to Joss Whedon. They've had a shit ton of reshoots done. They had to spend, like, we talked about this in one of the other episodes, like $10 million CGing off the mustache off of fucking Henry Cavill's face or whatever.
Oh, yes.
What the fuck?
So it's
he was just shooting something, wasn't he?
I think it was... I think it might have been the... What was it? Damn. But yeah, he was doing two things simultaneously, basically. And one was mustache, and the other one was not. And then they were going through the footage, and they're like, oh yeah, Superman looks dumb as shit with a mustache. We need to get that out of there.
oh my God.
And it's just like, you found that out afterwards? Like, you guys look at dailies. Did it never occur to you at any point that Superman has never had a mustache, so why would he have it in a movie? But yeah, but I think... DC on a whole, their group that's making these movies is actually starting to realize that they can't just do whatever. They have to kind of pay attention to the consumer a little bit more. So I'm hoping that they are aware of that enough to be able to try and put out a decent movie. The thing that I think is going to catch them up is the fact that, for the most part, their characters are not enjoyable on screen. Like, I've read a lot of comics, especially Batman is still one of my favorite characters of all time, but Superman is lame. Wonder Woman is cool in the movies only, but she's not as cool in comics, in my opinion. But then you go take a deep, deep drop with The Flash and Cyborg and Aquaman. And when you've got 50% of your roster as, like, B or C level characters that people don't care about, and you have not put them in a position to be cared about by having other movies or anything like that, you just kind of you're throwing a lot at the wall and hoping that it's going to stick, but I just don't think it's gonna.
Is there, like, a fan base for Aquaman?
There are some stands out there for Aquaman.
I've been
there are
wondering.
Some Aquaman stands,
yeah,
for
like
sure.
I'm sure, but, like, I mean, like, well, because it's Jason Momoa and I get it, but like, I mean, before that, what, like, obviously, everyone's the Batman fan because Batman's the best. But, like, I don't think I've ever met someone who's been like, oh, I want to buy an Aquaman action figure. Like, because I work in a toy store, not for long. And, like, we have, like, all the DC and, like, all the, like, superhero stuff. Nobody ever buys Aquaman, so why the fuck would you spend millions of dollars to make an Aquaman movie? Just do something else. I don't know.
I kind of wonder if this has anything to... Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to say. This has anything to do with that plot on Entourage, where Adrian Grenier was going to play Aquaman.
Oh, maybe.
That's a deep
and
cut.
And that was like hot well shit done. At the time.
That's a deep cut right there. I was not expecting an Entourage pool. In this podcast, so fantastic.
I know.
Oh boy.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be hot garbage. But what are you gonna do?
I just like wonder maybe... if they took a poll of everyone who ever watched Entourage.
And, HBO like,
just sent an
really...
email and were like, do you want an Aquaman movie?
Do you really want to do an Aquaman movie? What's crazy is that
yeah, bruv.
That they're putting it in action before he has ever even been on screen anywhere. So not only is he going to be in this Justice League movie, and that's where we get introduced to him and everything like that, but they're already making an Aquaman movie. So like, I'm gonna pull the card. That's male privilege right there, because they waited to see how Wonder Woman was received after Batman vs Superman before green lighting the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
And I think that's
bullshit. I will say, like, Marvel knew how successful, like, literally every movie in their franchise was going to be when they signed on to do the Captain Marvel standalone film. I don't think that's blatant non-sexism.
Yeah, 100%. And what's crazy is that they introduced Black Widow, who could have, at any point since then, had her own movie with whoever.
Oh, huh.
But they never did that stuff, and they still haven't. And
Do you remember the whole controversy about having like no Black Widow toys, but like having boxes with the Avengers, and they even had like the shitty like Hawkeye, but they didn't have Black Widow.
Oh, like, I like how you prefaced it with the shitty and then went to Hawkeye, because that's 100%.
I was gonna say the shitty heroes, but then I was like, no, the only shitty one is Hawkeye.
And on to go with that too, there's the Star Wars Monopoly, and they don't have a Rey figure in it, like the Star Wars Force Awakens.
Oh, that's what that was. Yeah. Sorry, I just like, screamed into my microphone.
Like, are you fucking? She's the main character.
I remember that
movie. How can you not? It's just so.
That's like, yeah.
It's just so dumb. I just don't understand
it. Do girls not play Monopoly? Well, I don't think anyone should play it.
Yeah,
but...
that's true. To be fair, I'm gonna go on record being the guy that kind of runs this show, that Geekstrom is anti-Monopoly.
Yeah, we're
play Lords of Waterdeep instead. But screw
you're anti-Monopoly, the board game,
and the concept of monopolies as well.
Sure.
Yes.
Unless it's us. Like, we hold a monopoly on podcasts.
On cool, geeky podcasts, because no one does those besides
us.
No.
Beyond true.
Yeah. So we'll call this part parting shots. What else do you have to say about Kingsman? The forum is yours.
Good God, what don't I have to say? Like, I think that, I think Elton John should win an Oscar.
I was not expecting that.
We didn't talk enough about
all.
Elton John.
We didn't talk about the best parts of the movie. Oh my God. Like, this whole sequence from them crawling through the jungle with the landmines up through.
Oh, Shenandoah.
The fight. No, how dare you.
Country
Roads. Right, like Mark Strong triumphantly belting out Country Roads with, I will emphasize this, a goddamn key change. Like, it set my heart on fire. I have seen this movie already, and this morning when I saw it again in theaters alone, I was weeping. I was weeping, and the tears were running down my eyes so thickly that I could not see through them to see whether or not any, like, meaningfully intact part of his body escaped the explosion. Even though that was like half of the reason I went back to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I just, oh my God, he should get an Oscar. The fact, like,
Elton.
No, Mark Strong should get an Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Elton should get an Oscar. If only just for, like, the moment when he's beating the shit out of those guys with a piano, and then he, like, Matrix slow motion jumps across the stage.
And he looks at
and
the
then
screen.
Stares into the camera.
So good.
Oh,
so,
my God. I almost threw up.
Did you notice that the dogs were named Benny and Jets?
Yes. Amazing.
Okay. So good.
The small, yeah. There was another small detail I noticed was anytime they were showing the news, like,
it was all Fox News.
Yeah. It was all Fox.
Yeah, and they were that's like, one of the two things I disliked about this film. Why did that happen?
It's a 21st century Fox production.
It's fucking bullshit. So I hated it. Fuck Fox News.
Integrate that in. But you know what was great? Is that apparently there was a lot more Trumpy stuff in this movie, and they cut some of it. Or they milled it out a little bit because they were trying to kind of echo what's going on currently. So the fact that they had a bullshit president around, and then also had Fox News reporting on that bullshit president in like a glorious, like funny way.
Yeah.
Was like kind of like a, that would have been the wink, wink, nudge, nudge to people in the know. 'Cause I'm sure there are some people that may lean a little bit more to the right that it just kind of went completely over their heads. But for me seeing it and being like, that's
good. Funny. We've got a president who's a sexist, elitist, lying piece of fucking shit here too.
Mm-hmm. Nice. That art imitates life. Great.
Woo. Right. Yeah. There's, oh my God. I just keep thinking about Country Roads, you guys.
It's so good.
Also worth noting, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore should win an Oscar for just the mere seconds she's on heroin.
Yeah.
She is like, perfect. She's perfect in everything she does. Good God.
You know my favorite Julianne Moore is 30 Rock.
Yes, I was just going to say 30 Rock, Julianne
so
Moore.
So good. So good. It's just the funniest shit ever. Just her Boston accent and affectations is just, I'm doing the
tragically
kiss thing, you know, on the lips, like it tastes good, like I'm an Italian chef. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, us too.
Oh my God.
So good.
I also want to say that Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting is like one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time. This whole thing, like the thing that I love about this and the thing that I love about Atomic Blonde is how fucking absurd and on point the placement of music is in these films. Yes. And it's just like, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck if it like takes me out of the experience. It just like catapults me into this religious space where I'm like, oh, this is how all art should be.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree. I mean, I'm on record as talking about how the addition and use of music in Baby Driver is just a cinematic tour de force. Where the movie was essentially built off of a playlist that was created and then kind of formed around it to utter perfection. So
that was my third favorite movie of the year.
Oh, well, great. I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. So much so that I always, every time I see a movie that has a lot of good songs in it or a good use of songs, I always think about creating this. I've been thinking about doing this since the internet was created. like an IMDb, but just for songs in movies.
Yes.
And what part of the movie that they're in. So, you know, if you ever get a weird email from me about, you know, putting in about 60 to 70 hours a week watching movies and categorizing the songs, just know that I'm going for it. And
I've already done field work on this because the IMDb version where it tells you like what artist's song is and what film is not enough.
Okay.
Well, I didn't even know there was a section for that.
Because I so much, it came from, to be fair, you know, I was a young lad and very obsessed with the idea of seeing breasts in movies.
Sure.
So when I found out that Mr. Skin was a thing, I was like, oh, that's neat that you can just know exactly what part of a movie to go to see boobs. Great.
Right.
That, as a 14-year-old kid, that sounds great.
Hold up.
What?
Wait, Mr. Skin?
Yeah.
Anthony.
I have never heard of this in my life.
Yes, you have.
Really?
No, I swear to God. It was in, what?
I can't tell if you're joking right now.
Knocked
Up? I'm not joking.
Do you remember the movie
You're really
Knocked
not,
Up?
Are you?
With Seth
Oh my
Rogen?
God, no. I thought that was just
up?
Like some, yeah, like I thought that was just like some joke that they were making.
Oh no,
in the
that
movie.
Was real.
Like,
that was the whole linchpin of that joke is that what they were doing already existed.
Oh honey. My God.
I totally, wow, I'm going to go, I'm looking at this shit right now.
Okay, well, I thought of that, and then I always try to think, like, I hear a song, and I'm like, I'm having an experience right now that's not based on just the jam, but this is making me think of something else, and it's like, oh, this was in a movie, but it was, I don't remember what movie it was, so from that point, I was like, there needs to be a place that I can go to see what movie this was in and when it was in it, because... Like you were saying, Kat, there's like a good filmmaker can use the soundtrack, especially if it's music that already exists, to create an entire experience beyond just the visual and the audio, to like combine them and build upon them like exponentially. It, there's something weird about it, but it is almost religious, especially for people that maybe don't have that actual part in their life, you know, so they're looking for it for other places.
Yeah.
That's movies, for sure, for me.
Oh my gosh, agreed. And it's like, the fact that not every filmmaker strives for this, which, like, mm-hmm. gosh, I'm not looking for uniformity by any stretch of the imagination, but it made me feel like, oh, I'm, like, this insane emotional person, because when it's done correctly, I become a blubbering mess. Like, I get very emotionally manipulated by music.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it might be more common than we think it is, and therefore
oh, yeah.
more accepted.
Mm-hmm. That's why I hope that they never put the song "Let It Cry" by Hootie, or "Let Her Cry" by Hootie and the Blowfish in a movie that I actually like, because that song always makes me like misty for some reason. Aww. So if it's ever actually put Aww. Into a movie where it's like actual emotional shit is going down, that song will be ruined for me forever, because I'll never be able to listen to it on the radio and go, well, gonna have to cry in my car again. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my song like that is Shake Your Ass by Mystical. I can't.
Watch yourself.
Shake your ass.
Show me what you're working with.
Oh, God. That's so good. You know what's in that same vein, to go along with that same kind of joke? That song for me is North Carolina, Come On and Raise Up by Petey Pablo.
Oh my God.
So I good. Love a Petey Pablo song called, oh God, it was in Step Up.
Of course.
Show Me the Money, maybe?
You know, what's weird is I know exactly what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's so yeah. good. There's like violin set to hip hop, and it was like the first time I'd ever heard it. And this is the thing. I don't have like a song that'll do it for me in a movie. I like movies will present to me songs which will ruin me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway. That's Hocus Pocus by Focus. I'd seen that's been in other movies before, and I remember that from other movies. And then when I heard it in Baby Driver during the running parkour scene,
right?
I was like, I can't listen to that in the car, because if I listen to that in the car, I'm gonna go 40 miles over the speed limit,
right? And then start trying to steal other cars.
Yes, and kill Jamie Foxx with rebar, because that's what you do when you put Hocus Pocus by Pocus. Or I just got all that mixed up, but whatever. That's the point that I was
No, I totally know what you mean. Every time I hear Lowrider by War, I am instantly transported back to when I saw Gone in 60 Seconds for the first time, and I am always on the verge of a felony.
Yep.
Anyway.
Was was Angelina Jolie blonde in that movie?
Yes. Yes, she was.
Mm. I don't know how I feel about that. But
Frankie.
Be quiet. Be quiet, both of you.
Okay.
You feel good about it.
Good. I was going to say, Frankie, don't talk about Angelina Jolie.
Okay. I'm gonna save that for another time. We need her to be in the movie so we can talk about her.
Listen, you're going to let her do whatever she needs to do right now? She is rebuilding her life?
I appreciate the struggle, and I hope that her children are okay. That's me putting my two cents in.
Thank you. I'll pass that on.
So, Anthony, before we go, is there any movie that you'd like to say something about before we go?
No, because I think we've talked enough about Atomic Blonde. Not really, actually. We should do a whole podcast on that, but Atomic Blonde is out tomorrow, so I'm gonna
rewatch it. Oh my god, is it?
Yeah, it's out on digital tomorrow, and then I think next week it's gonna be on Blu-ray. So, of course, I already have it, like, pre-ordered and ready to go on Amazon. I don't know. What other movies, like, came out this year that, besides Spider-Man, which we talked about for 2 hours?
Mother.
Well, you know it's coming out later this year.
Oh, I haven't seen Mother. That was what I wanted to
watch. What's coming out later this year? Literally every movie we're going to have to cram into a weekend viewing to get caught up for the Oscars. Well,
Thor is coming out soon. out there. Yes. Looks really, really, really good.
That's right.
And then Star Wars.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know,
which would be episode eight, which, you know, people will think might not be
as good. I got emotional watching the trailer, okay? Aww. I was, like, shaking.
Let me hear what you guys think about this. I have a first trailer only rule, because I have mental issues, right, that keep me from being able to live in the present, and creates a lot of anxiety, has a lot of negative effects on my life. But
sure.
What it happens is when I see things about media that I care about, especially Star Wars, which is basically the blood that runs through my veins, I can't help but start thinking about what could happen. So to mitigate that disastrous effect on me, I only watch the first trailer of anything. So we live in a world where we get a teaser and then two proper trailers, and then you're looking at least two or three other ones from, at the very least, China and Japan, which, you know, they're all cut in different ways to get different type of effects in different markets and so on and so on. But by the time all of that stuff has come out, the way that my brain works is I'm building the narrative out to be a certain thing, which can lead to a situation where I kind of get let down. So,
well, like,
to keep that from happening, I only watch the first trailer of anything.
So, does the first trailer include the teaser, or no?
Only with Star Wars does it not.
Okay.
Everything else, I only watch whatever is the first thing that comes out. But because I think I lasted 15 minutes after the trailer came out, for the first trailer came out for Star Wars, into my mission before I faltered. To be fair to me, though, I was in an airport at the time, so I didn't have much else to do.
Yeah, what the fuck are you supposed to do?
Scrolling through Twitter, and I'm just, everyone is reacting. I'm like, well, I might as well just go ahead and watch this.
No, and yeah, Kat was in a group chat where my friend and I both watched it, and sorry, Kat, we couldn't stop talking about it for the rest of the night, and it was only like 2 minutes long.
And see, I personally have a similar policy to you, Frankie, because I don't like to have my experience of watching the film marred by anything, including, like, somebody said something to me like, oh yeah, no, a bunch of stormtroopers get killed, and I was like, you better shut the fuck up. And I got in an argument with this person. I got in an argument with this person because I was like, I don't know how many times I've told you, I don't care if you think it's an important spoiler, I don't want to hear anything about it. And he was like, oh my god, fucking shocking, stormtroopers die in Star Wars, which is like utterly fair. But I can't risk being let down. I can't risk being like led to believe anything. I agree with that, and I say, good on ya.
Yeah, that's definitely my approach, and it has served me well so far. So much so that in 2015, when Episode 7 came out, if there were God, I'm such a fucking nerd. If I was seeing a movie and the trailer number 2 came on, I would literally do like the la 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 la. I would close my eyes and cover my ears and hum so that I wasn't having, and it's just because when I decide something, I commit to it, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say here.
No, I think I was that's admirable.
Fully committed to not seeing anything. And then after I saw the movie, went to YouTube and watched all of them to just kind of see the experience. Because even still watching the first teaser for Force Awakens with the, you know, Finn popping up in the screen and them saying, you know, you got Snoke's voice saying dark side in the light, and then the Millennium Falcon pops up and you hear the fanfare and all that stuff. It just like still gives me the chills. And very similar experience with this most recent trailer, because I actually know who all these characters are now and their motivations and what's going on in their life, how they've gotten to where they are. There's actual investment at this point. So like thinking, oh, this could happen. But then, you know, I get to that point where I start trying to write the entire movie in my brain. And it's like, I gotta put a stop to this.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of willpower. I don't. I'm like, oh, fuck, a new trailer. Okay, get a watch.
Mm-hmm. The only time no, that's not true. You know, sometimes it's 3 a.m. and you have to watch trailers. But true. It's like more low stakes. I watch them in theaters because every time I see a movie, whoever I'm with, we play this game and you pick a number like 1 through 6 and just divide the numbers up amongst whoever you're with. And that's like the chronological ordered trailer you get, and whichever one you get, like, that's your life for the day. And for some reason I always get fucking Jennifer Lawrence trailers. Wow. It's like pathological. At this point.
So you're gonna be a Russian assassin?
Yes, I got that one twice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah, gonna be interesting to see how that one is, because, you know, this, I'm interested to see where her career goes from here, where we're clear of Hunger Games, Jennifer Lawrence, and we're also clear past her, you know, like her basically assault on the Academy for like 3 years straight, where it's just like she is gonna win everything for forever. So I want to see if it's kind of a Meryl Streep type situation where it's sustained going forward, because I think she has it.
The girl is very talented, but she also, like, mm-hmm. you know, she also had Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
I don't mean in any sort of untoward way, but totally. He was, you know, an advocate of hers.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Do
you know where the first time that I got sucked into watching all trailers and every single amount of information and shred I could get for it?
Tell me.
Episode 1. That's the thing I wanted you to talk about, Anthony. I was trying to lead you to it, but I couldn't get you there naturally.
Oh, my God. We always go back to episode 1, don't we?
It's always Phantom Menace. It always comes back to it.
Oh,
but it just never came up. You know, it might be Ethan. Ethan brings episode 1 out in me, for sure. Ethan always brings
out episode 1. Yeah, I mean, because, like, I knew it was Star Wars when you were like, oh, there's another series we mm-hmm. always talk about. Oh,
when you
like,
were talking about, of course I knew that. Because fuck the Phantom Menace, but you said something like mythical, and I was like, oh my god, when have they ever brought up unicorns? I don't know why my brain went there.
Oh, that's in the footnotes. That's, we don't publish that.
Subtext. Yeah. It's like when you find out after you see 2049 that replicant babies is what the movie was all about. And you're like, fucking, that's the unicorn of this movie? Is fucking replicant babies? I had no idea.
That's, like, I can't believe, I thought that the whole controversy was that there were, like, hybrids running around.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So, it was that there was the one who is, just, or could this be is hybrid. The only spoiler that I'm not going to give you, Anthony, just because it will make the movie better, but you know, Kat, that one girl that does that thing, like her job, so she ends up being the person, mm-hmm. that's... It's essentially all about her.
Right.
But without it being directly about her.
Right. I did know that, but I just assumed that, mm-hmm. like, they thought that, what is it, Rachel? Rachel bearing children was, like, Marvel and alone. Marvel and
F alone. So that was, like, the, like, kind of the impetus for the investigation to go as deep as it was. But when it became that she was having it with another person who was also a replicant, and that they were able to, two replicants were able to, air quotes, naturally have a child, that was like, you know, the next step. and everything.
Wait, so I don't. How did it come out that she had another kid with a replicant? I'll have to see it again. Because, ignore me.
Because it was Deckard. Because she was with Deckard. So knowing that Deckard is a replicant is the part is kind of where the reframing of the first Blade Runner comes into focus. Because if you know from the first movie, or you believe at least that Deckard was a replicant, so that he gets together with another replicant and they have an actual replicant baby, that's where all of that information comes from.
Wait, so they don't explicitly say Deckard is a replicant?
I don't think that at any point do they ever make it super clear, but I think in the conversation that he has with Jared Leto's crazy ass, they make it clear. But, you know, he was probably doing a lot of weird shoulder movements, and then, you know, with his weird, actually blind contacts that he had in and everything, it just kind of, you get more focused on the fact that this guy is fucking nuts. And
yeah, I'm sure I was talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Wait,
like, so Jared Leto, like, actually blinded himself?
Yes.
Oh, yes. For fuck's sake.
Because it's cool when you do method and the character that you're trying to play is an interesting character and the movie is better for it. But when you're just method to be an asshole, it just kind of, it loses its flair and its flavor.
You know what else is cool?
I could go on about this, but yeah.
About
the Phantom Menace?
Fuck the Phantom Menace.
I'm kidding. It's not good at all.
But, like, what Jared Leto does is not fucking method, and he's giving it a bad name, and all of these actors out there who are, like, using competitiveness with this bastardized form of method as, like, their showing in an artistic format of, like, their weird masculinity is just pissing me off to the point where I cannot hear about it anymore.
What, like, Leonardo DiCaprio?
I don't want to talk about The Revenant. I don't want to talk about it. I've already talked as much as I can. Good God.
Mm.
Good fucking
I think
God.
We might have our next podcast today because
how dare you?
Nothing is geekier than getting into the nuts and bolts of why something is bullshit. That's the geekiest thing you could ever do.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Oh, guys. I love Kingsman. I love Kingsman so much. It was just like, you know, it was balls out bonkers, like, mayhem. I loved it.
Oh.
And I don't know what tasteless asshole is giving this film 51% on Rotten Tomatoes, but, like, call me.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so, when I saw it in theaters, I'm sorry, there were people, I don't think they had seen the first one or what, like, they just didn't get it. And, like, in the very beginning when Eggsy, like, jumped over, like, a, you know, flying car and then stole another car, some lady behind us is like, oh, yeah, right.
Oh, I'm fuck like, off, ma'am.
What are you watching? Like, I'm like, what the fuck did you sign on for? Oh, like, geez. Did you not know what this was?
So, I got those people two things for us to wrap up on. And one is, we'll go semi-controversial and then fun to end it. But it's only controversial maybe based on whatever answers you guys give me, because I heard about this and then I saw the movie and then I didn't understand. But there is the, again, air quotes, sex scene at the festival, the music festival.
Glasto, yeah.
And then that people were really, really upset about prior. So I was like, I was going into it expecting it to be, I don't know, something that was like really, really, either really gross or degrading or raunchy or something like that. So did I miss something? Like, I'm confused about where the controversy was.
No, listen, I could have done without it, but mostly done without the like animated membrane sequence that followed it. That I found to be the most offensive part.
Yeah, but
But I think that like there, people are probably, first of all, everybody needs to calm the fuck down. This movie was amazing, but I think people are upset that, like, consent was not given to a tracking device on one's person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In one's person.
Yeah, okay. All right. So that I get it from that angle, but... and I think that the
but I've seen people, you know, shouting much more aggressive things, so.
Yeah.
I mean, do they know who the president is? Like
yeah, that's
like, I'm that's sure
true. You can fall back on that. And for
the yeah. interior monologue, as it were, it's a little tasteless for sure, but you know, I get what they were going for there. It just kind of, you know, like, I don't know. It just, I was expecting it to be something that was, like, very obviously terrible. And so then when it wasn't, I felt like it was almost like a situation where you're presented with an opportunity to take a stand on something, to kind of fall on one side or the other. And then when the situation doesn't present you with enough information, you start to feel like either A, you're insensitive, or B, you're stupid. Because I was just like, am I supposed to have an opinion on this? Because I really don't. I really, it's like, this is kind of weird. But besides that, I'm like, not super, I wouldn't write an article about it. So when I was just wondering if you guys had a little bit more view on that than I did. Because I just, nothing really struck me when it came to that.
The reason I don't think I'm being particularly insensitive is because I am particularly sensitive about so much, and I'll like go off
mm-hmm.
on a rant about pretty much anything. But I think that there are just a lot of offense junkies out there with yeah. time to write a think piece.
Yeah, I mean, I can see like if there was like an actual issue with it, but I don't know. I feel like everyone that's mad about it is going to forget about it in 2 minutes
right.
anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of like, kind of on the back burner for me.
Like, I had forgotten about it after I saw the movie for the first time, and then those comments started coming out, and I was like, oh gosh, yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay. Okay. So it was more like a fence peddling than anything.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Mostly for clicks, yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, then, going to fun stuff.
Woohoo!
Especially considering the whole situation from the end of Country Roads to, you know, the end of Julianne Moore, the continuous shot that's sandwiched in the middle of that, yes. when they're outside and they're, you know, fighting and shooting and stuff like that. I feel like we're kind of in a renaissance of the continuous shot. Like, essentially, from the point where they had that episode of True Detective in season one, where they did that.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
They did that shot.
I was like, oh.
Like, that has become the new hotness in almost every form of visual media. It's something that is just one continuous straight through shot to, like, convey action and everything. You know, like, something like Birdman.
Yeah, Birdman.
That whole movie essentially being. Well, yeah, that's true. I agree with that too, because like they stuck to it so much. So, and also considering that, you know, it wasn't a true continuous shot, that it was filmed in a way for it to seem like that. I feel like that is like a something that is being overdone, but when it's done correctly, like Baby Driver. The opening for Baby Driver is fucking amazing.
Yes.
Like I love a good continuous shot. And then it always reminds me of Goodfellas, because that was the first one that I ever saw where it, you know, where I realized that something was going on within the filmmaking.
Oh, interesting.
What was the first, the one in Goodfellas?
Is so that when they the go, when, old crazy face, what's the guy's name? Main character, gangster guy. Voice of Tommy Vercetti in Vice City.
Oh, Ray Liotta.
Ray okay. Liotta, there you go.
Oh,
you.
I did not know what you were talking about.
I was throwing out all the things that I remembered him from.
No, you're
sorry.
Telling it.
When he walked into the club with the girl, his soon-to-be okay. wife for the first time, and he gives the guy the money, and they go down the stairs and through the kitchen and into the lounge area where they move the table and everything. Like, that whole thing is one continuous shot. and
I thought it was like with Tommy Two Times or whatever.
Oh yeah,
they're like listing all the people. Yeah, okay.
So that's just one of my favorite filmmaking techniques, and Kingsman just they had the fight scene in the church in Kentucky. Mm. In the first movie.
Oh, God.
Which so was just, fucking good. Which that, it was so good, and it, like, that one caught me by surprise, because up to that point, it had been kind of been like a procedural movie, where it's just like, this is, you're learning about these characters, and this world, and story, and world building, and all this stuff, and then out of nowhere, fucking mayhem. And it's all in this one brilliant, chaotic, you know, movement-based, continuous shot and everything. And then to have something similar, like that's kind of like a signature of Kingsman movies. So I hope that if they continue to make them, that they have something that kind of ratchets it up. Like shooting a fucking missile into another missile launcher is dumb as hell, but it's amazing. It's so to beautiful. See when it actually what happens. Do you mean?
I think they're doing one more. I think that's gonna be it for Kingsman. But they had expressed wanting to maybe do a Statesman spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah,
I mean, fine, I'll take it.
I like to keep...
Well, I think Egerton, who plays Eggsy, he was like... I think he said he wants Dwayne The Rock Johnson to be the villain in 3. And I am 1,000% in favor of
that.
Can
he pull it off?
Just put him in everything.
Well, they could... As Twitter user Fruits Are Edible mentioned, there should be a crossover.
Can we get him and John Cena to be like a villainous duo?
I don't know if the world can handle that.
I would be about it. Have you guys seen Ballers by any chance?
No, on HBO? Won't do that.
Okay, no. So The Rock is really good in that, and he has enough of a gray character in it that I think that he could be. He could be a good bad guy, given the correct writing. Yeah.
Okay, that's like...
Also, when he went off on Tyrese on Instagram, I think that he has the ability to get...
that's great. Oh, man. God. Those long shots, like, I was so... It was like seeing a dead relative to have one in the sequel as well. Oh, it was. God. It gave me, like, such heartwarming... joy and just to like watch Eggsy with his mentor this round doing the same mm-hmm. goddamn thing, it was so beautiful,
super cool.
And it's meant to show like, oh, just in case you had any shadow of a doubt, these guys are fucking badass because they're doing this all in allegedly one take.
Yeah, and you know, Colin Firth still has it.
Just oh my god, he still has it, guys.
Even with one eye.
Even with one eye, even after spending half the movie doing that, like, sweet little amnesiac puppy grin. Still got it.
Still got it.
Okay. I feel like you want to wrap up, but I want to say I am going to be at a Comic-Con this weekend with Sean Young. And I don't know how I'm going to keep myself from, like, sprinting up to her and sort of shaking her by the shoulders and being like, "Were you there?" You know, so like, one, I need advice. Two, do you have any questions I should ask? Three, should I just not go?
Oh,
don't just not go, because that's totally a thing I would do. So go.
Well, what I'm looking for is to make sure that if you have an experience that rivals the time that Anthony and I can't ever phrase it the way that he does, but when he met was it Booker T. Washington? Okay.
5-time
there you go.
WCW heavyweight champion Booker T.
So if you can make sure that whatever happens between the two of you in public is chronicled in the way that Anthony chronicled everything after he met Booker T. Washington, then I would be super happy about
it. Didn't you meet Kit Harington?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw his butt long before HBO ever showed it to us.
No, she's like being serious too.
I don't doubt it. You can't pull the butt card and, you know, not be able to bring it. My question that I would have for her through you would be probably Dune related, if it was okay. Anything. Just to be like, do you think that anyone should ever do anything with Dune ever again? Because as kind of beloved in a cult way as it is, I still don't feel that people that like the book series have ever really enjoyed the movie, and, you know, like to the level that people I think would like for it to be loved. So the fact that there's like rumblings that there's going to be a remake, which I think would be done by the same guy that did Blade Runner 2049, kind of, I know that it would look really good for sure, but I don't know if the content of the movie itself would be able to be worthwhile for it to be kind of undertaken again. But that's super wordy and not something that you could just ask in passing. So, but that would just be me. Like, if we were having a drink or talking over coffee, I'd be like, so what do you think about them actually trying to do Dune?
Yeah, there we go. God, I'm on her IMDb page right now, and she's got like 13 things in either pre, post, or current production. Oh, and her...
I think she was in Ace Ventura.
Oh, she absolutely was.
Yeah.
It's Ray Finkel.
Dang.
Spoiler alert for Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Would-be watchers out there. I'm on her, and also, no. Like, her photo on IMDb is of, like, her with her back to the camera, her face sort of like Lauren Bacall over her shoulder, and she's holding a fluffy white dog. And it says she's from Kentucky, like the Statesman.
How about that?
Oh, fucking my Kentucky. God.
There you go.
We were just shitting all over Kentucky like an hour ago.
And it gave us Sean Young.
Well, to be fair, we would probably just do that anyway because it's fucking Kentucky, just to be fair.
Yeah,
true.
Well, yeah, you should definitely at least say hi to her. If not, also try to see her butt. I think that would be fair. To Kit Harington.
Oh, that's a great idea. I hadn't even thought of that.
There you go. So anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I'll calm down.
No, hey, listen.
I think I'm good. I need to apparently watch Blade Runner 2049.
Me too.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
That's what's called viral marketing, kids. Write it down. So yeah, this if you like this podcast, there is a place that you can subscribe to hear them. This one's going to be a long one, but it actually is filled with some pretty good content, so that's, you know, worth listening to.
I agree.
So you can get it on iTunes. You can also find it at hardmentoplease.com. That site's been a little dormant, but I think it's gonna be having some content on it soon. So
I'm gonna have a thing I'm working on.
Oh, good.
It's Game of Thrones related.
You don't say.
Not surprised at all.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, hey, that's, you know, I was going to say that's the only reason that we ever have you on, but obviously that's a lie.
Yeah, because, it's true.
You know, that's the only reason. How about this? To be sweet and sour at the same time. That's the only reason that we can stand listening to your voice for as long as we do, because of the beautiful
good
things
point.
You spout about Game of Thrones.
Savage.
Oh, God.
So, I would assume that at some point you would post that on Twitter as well, Anthony. So where can people find you there?
You and our listeners and the FBI can find me on Twitter at Antipalma.
Oh, they're already following you, homie.
He's well aware.
And what about you, Kat? Where can we find you on the internets?
Oh, you know, I'm around. My name is spelled weird.
Is that
usually retweeting me.
Is that a new, I'm around is a new social media, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
It's like a Google, like a new Google thing. Just I'm around.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Hey, fuck you guys.
Just for people that are like into, yeah, copyright, TM, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, spell it out, and then it'll also be in the annotations and stuff on the website. But, you know, just for people that don't actually go to web pages anymore, how would we spell your name to follow you?
No, how dare you? I'm gonna let these fuckers do some work, and they can
do some work, fuckers.
Find me somewhere on De Palma's feed.
There you go. Yeah,
she's there pretty frequently.
I'm sorry, listeners. I didn't mean.
Sorry,
that.
There's. Sorry, okay. there's also some kind of a ruckus going on downstairs, so this would be a perfect time for us to all say goodbye.
Auf Wiedersehen. Bye.